with the Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on campusisradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, August the 2nd. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Who are? Hello.
Who are?
How be ye?
You're seriously going to try a West Country accent when Bird is sat in the studio?
I know, she's ruined my whole
She's real.
Plunder.
When Birdie's real West Country totty and you're not.
I know, I'm going to have some, because I am Essex, Birdie, so I'm going to have some lessons from you. But great cider, I would say, down your way. I took many.
She can't answer you because she hasn't got a microphone.
She's sat nodding in the corner. Diligently.
I know. But the listener can't tell that, can they?
No, but she's nodding, listener.
Anyway, I haven't seen you for ages, luckily.
No. Well, it's actually 3 weeks, isn't it? And six days.
It's more than that, isn't it?
3 weeks and six.
You've been on three holidays since you were last in, haven't you?
Fitted them in.
Huh?
Fitted them in. Is that you bonging?
Yeah, it's silly people sending me text messages when
We're just saying, listener, that Paul Andrews and I have got to the age where we need to remember our glasses, our teeth and our hair. because we are of that age, aren't we?
Well, you might be.
Loving your new headphones, by the way.
Are you?
You look like you're in some sort of, you know, headdress, Viking headdress.
I'll tell you what it reminds me of. You probably won't recognise this.
Dumbo?
No, Cybermen from Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah. No, I do remember them.
Yeah, do you remember?
Yeah. But I was always more scared. I was scared of them, but I was always more scared of the Daleks.
Were you?
Yeah, I found them very,
yeah,
very
scary.
Yeah,
but Daleks were easy to deal with, weren't they?
Yeah. Were the Cybermen those sort of fish ones, or were they something else?
No, they were like robots. But Daleks were easy. You just ran upstairs and that's it, game over. They couldn't do anything.
Well, we all make mistakes, as the Dalek said, climbing off the dustbin.
Anyway, thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure to share the afternoon with you. And I'm just ignoring you.
Right over your head.
No, it didn't. It's such an old joke that I couldn't even be bothered to recognise that you told it.
I think I told you it 8 years ago. It's the trouble.
I think you tell it every week.
Only when you bring up Daleks.
Okay.
Who's our sponsor?
I've forgotten. I've lost the will to live now.
Is it someone I like?
Today's show sponsor are the lovely folks over at Fruitworks.
Oh,
The community workspace and hot desking place in the centre of Canterbury at Drury Lane. And they now have a massively expanded setup there. And they've got loads of new desks, chill out areas and all kinds of other things going on.
And fruit?
No fruit.
Well, they used to have fruit bowls.
Oh, they have free fruit, yeah.
Yeah, you see?
Yeah, they do.
I knew what they did.
Cool. So thank you to Fruitworks for sponsoring today's show. It's an absolute privilege to share the show with you. I'll tell you what, though. We'd like to hear from you, the listeners out there. And you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can actually call us on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035. Or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to deal with us on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb using the hashtag BeBunker. Jules.
Yes, that's a very good idea, Paul Andrews.
What are you doing? You're playing with your phone, aren't you?
No, I'm tweeting people.
Yeah, okay.
It's all gone berserk, hasn't it?
It's all gone Pete Tong already, and we've only been on air 2 minutes.
Have we got a studio telephone number now or not?
No.
Are you saving up to get one?
Everyone's laughing at you, Jules.
Have you just called it out?
I've just called the number out twice.
Sorry.
And you had a go at me for not listening to your silly joke about dustbins.
Well, no, I was tweeting, you see. But
Jules, the telephone number, should you wish to call us, is Ashford, which is 01233 220035.
Love that. Thank you. 220035.
You got it.
Ashford, 01233. Putting you through now.
Thank you. Cool.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Right. So,
Should we start off with an email?
I think we could start off with an email, Jules, to be honest.
You were a bit froggy this morning.
Yeah.
So this is St James's in Dover, where I've been actually quite a lot recently, and you never know what the traffic's going to be like. It's either a load of lorries or there's none. So St James has a redevelopment project, and it's a new 156,915 square feet of retail and leisure scheme at the heart of Dover. There they go. Look, they're phoning you, Paul Andrews.
Blimey. I don't know what that was.
Is it not someone phoning you?
No.
Must be a gremlin. Mm. The heart of Dover Town Centre, and it will provide a 6-screen cinema, 108-room travel lodge hotel, other hotels are available, restaurants and shops. There'll be a legal and general property, and they've committed £53 million to acquire and fund the development. And KIER, K-I-E-R, has been awarded a £24 million contract to deliver the scheme. Do you know about KIER, Paul Andrews? Because you know most things. I've never heard of them.
They're a huge building company.
Construction.
They're massive construction
company. Are they English?
Yeah.
KIER isn't a very English word, I don't think. K-I-E-R sounds Dutch. I think one of our guests, I think James Osborne looks a little bit Dutch. What's your ancestry,
would you go with that?
I've got bored of reading emails. What is your ancestry? Because you although you are English,
yeah.
I'm thinking there's a little bit of Dutch there. Somewhere.
I left my clogs at home today. So my ancestry is English. I spent a lot of time in Australia though, so there's a bit of Australian twang to me.
A little bit of didgeridoo.
I was a little bit of Roll Paris, but probably not.
No, we're not allowed to mention that on air.
Oh, we're not. Okay, fine. There we go. So, but no Dutch, I'm afraid. So no Dutch.
Oh, don't you think there's a little bit of Dutch there, Paul? New website for
Shepwell. How random is that?
There's a new website. We've got James and Jamie. It's far too much. New website for Shepway area, Paul.
I have to tell you, listener.
Shall I stop reading?
I have to tell you, listener. Jules hasn't been in for a long while.
The hands are coming out.
So she's bomb happy. She's arrived here in one of those moods, and she's determined to double entendre and work her way through this show by being her normal, feisty, difficult.
Well, I'm just so impressed that we've already had James mentioning Rolf Harris. I mean, that's usually something that I bring up, isn't it? And yeah. I get told off for. But when James says it, oh, it's all right.
Yeah, well,
it?
We just ignored him.
How is Rolf Harris anyway?
I've no idea. Anyway,
he must be on Sheppey.
Read an email.
In a prison. New website for Shepway area. So the Shepway District Council has recently launched a new website. I'm going to read that out at the end of this. And this website promotes the Shepway District to businesses outside of Shepway or those looking to start up a business in the area, as well as providing information for existing Shepway businesses on funding, support and upcoming events. And the website you need to find out about Shepway area is Folkestone.works, and then it says it runs out there, so I'm not any. Can it just be? Oh, it can be just Folkestone.works now, can't it?
It can, yeah. Folkestone.works, it's a new top level domain.
Yeah, I love those. So check that out for the Shepway. Can you just tell me where Shepway is?
Yes, Folkestone, Hythe, Dimchurch.
Okay, so a really important area, actually.
Yeah, it's where our other studio is in Shepway,
yeah, and I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay. And also, are you a dementia-friendly retailer? This is a good one. Mm. So Alzheimer's Society has launched a new guide for retailers on how to become dementia-friendly. 850,000 people live with dementia in the UK, and research carried out by the charity shows that 8 out of 10 of those living with the condition consider shopping their favourite activity. But 1 in 4 have given up shopping since being diagnosed because of difficulties with finding their way around stores, picking up the wrong items, problems at the checkout, and worries about staff and other shoppers' reactions. So to find out how to become more dementia friendly, if you're a retailer or indeed any business, you can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/MDAA. Nice one.
Yep. And if you go to the blog on the Kent Business Radio website, there are some downloadable resources there as well, which are all free for how to manage dementia in the workplace in general. And there's some excellent resources there. So do take the opportunity to do that. I'm going to read a tweet.
Fire away.
We've had a tweet from Pete Bresser, who's Bresser Photos on the Twitter. And he says, hey, Vanilla Web, can we get a shout out, please, for our event? It's Splatworks. Oh, I like that. Splatworks.co.uk /events/succeed. And it says, if photography was as easy as buying a decent camera, everyone with a digital SLR could take stock photos. So it's a photography course run by one of the greatest photographers
He's
around
amazing.
Here, Pete Bresser. So do check that out. It's taking place at the London Golf Club on Thursday, October the 13th. And you can find out about it, book your place and get all the details by going to the website, which is splatwebworks.co.uk. That's splat, splatweborks, splatwebworks.co.uk, or you could just follow Pete on the Twitter, which is Bresser, B-R-E-S-S-E-R, photos, Bresser photos, all one word. Give him a follow. Jules.
He's a blooming good
You knew you said something rude then, didn't you?
He's a blooming good, blooming.
Blooming good. He's blooming
good. He's a blooming good.
He's blooming. He's fabulously
fantastic. He is. I've had many a frolic with him at Squarey's, actually. I met him.
Did you?
Yeah, where we frolicked.
Oh, did he take that famous photo of you being locked in?
The one of me going over the 5
Yeah, yeah. There's a great photo on Twitter of Jules. She was so, how can we put this delicately, as a rabbit.
You can't.
She was completely off her trolley. And she got locked in, okay, and somebody took a photo of her climbing over a 5-bar gate with a glass of Prosecco or champagne or English sparkling wine in each hand, okay, while she climbed a 5-bar gate, if you can imagine such a thing, and she didn't spill a drop.
But the worst thing was that Squarey's, the lovely Henry Ward, with an E on the end of Ward, spotted the photo, and I was actually going out with his beautiful glasses that were sort of...
Oh, you nicked his champagne flutes.
Branded, Squarey's, and he's, you know, so he did...
He wasn't happy with
he
you.
He did phone me afterwards, yes.
We've had a tweet from WebMonkey Studio. WebMonkey Tweets is their Twitter handle that says, hello, Vanilla Web, hope you're having a great Tuesday, and can we have a shout-out on the Beauty Spunker, please? You've just been shouted out. Jules...
Yes, I'm just reading some tweets. We've had Supply My Business who said, enjoying Business Bunker, stop bickering. Reception is amazingly clear today. Bickering? Us?
Who's this? Who's this?
This is Supply My Biz.
Oh, is it Martin?
Lovely Martin.
Oh, you can talk, Martin.
Yeah.
Oh, you can talk. Last week, Martin. Cool.
What did he get up to?
Oh, did he give me grief last week?
Well, I've got to listen back.
Yeah.
Still. I'm going to do it when I'm driving. We've also had a lovely little tweet from Cascade Julie, Cascade Insurance. Mm. Good to hear Jules back on the show. She's the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the only one that's mentioned.
How much did she pay you, Julie?
Oh, I don't know. Probably.
Kelly Culver has tweeted, hi Vanilla Web, can I have a shout out for my new startup business, Route 66 Motors UK?
You'll like this, Jamie.
Kelly, young Kelly, he's 20 years old. She has just started a business renovating and selling American classic cars herself. She's a qualified car mechanic. She used to work for me until last week as a social media manager, would you believe? But she's now specialising in original American Mustangs and Camaros.
So it's right nice, up your street.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't nod at us.
So that's Kelly Culver, and you can follow Kelly, KellyCulver96 on the Twitter, or her new business, which is Route 66, that's the number 6, Route 66 Motors UK. On a Twitter.
Great
and
name.
Thanet Heating Company, Kent Gas Engineer is their Twitter handle. Hi, Vanilla Web. Hi, Business Bunker. Hello to you all. We'd love a shout out for our business as we launched our new website last week. That's Kent Gas Engineer on the Twitter, the Thanet Heating Company. So big shout out to you guys. Jules.
UK Export Finance, there's a round table and a one-to-one. It is, they're saying it's at 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. on Thursday the 4th of August. So that's this Thursday coming. It's Kent Invicta Chamber, Ashford. I'm going to read out the sat-nav in a minute. So they say, join this roundtable discussion to find out how UKEF, provides support to companies, providing finance for deals in countries where high street banks fear to tread, offering your customers attractive finance options backed by the UK government. So it's this Thursday at 9:30 a.m. It's the 4th of August with Kent Invicta Chamber, and it's Ashford, TN24, and then OL for Lion and H for Harry. And details will be on Kent Business Radio, probably already.
Absolutely. They are indeed.
And then,
go on.
Excitingly, there's an international trade taster session. If you're new to importing or exporting, perhaps only just dealing with your first few orders or inquiries, you may well be interested to come along to our taster session, during which we will let you know about the sources of help and advice available from Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce. We'll talk you through the typical international trade payment terms, import and export procedures, and some of the tricks of the trade, and much more. Now, that's on Wednesday, the 7th of September. That's a date for your diary. Again, it's Kent and Victor Chamber, and details will be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Paul, thank you. Michael Parks, MPSL, Chartered Surveyors, have tweeted in that said, we can handle lease assignments, sublettings, the vetting of new tenants, and they're promoting serviced offices to let at the Bridge Nucleus Business and Innovation Centre, which is over there in Dartford, right next door to the tunnel and the bridge. So do check that out. That's MPSL on the Twitter. Michael Parks, Chartered Surveyors. Dandelion Social, Dandelion SM, your business social media needs are catered for. They're also promoting a podcast that they did with some bloke from the radio, but
not you.
You don't want to listen to that. Yeah. What else we got? What else you got, Jules?
I was about to ask you when we were playing Tunage. Are we doing Tunage?
Yeah, in a minute. Yeah.
When we got Tunage, because I haven't got my Twitter page up here, so I can't look. Kibi in Victor Chamber after hours networking. What does Kibi stand for, Kent?
Sorry?
Kibi, K-E-B-Y, Kent something.
I don't know. Kibi.
Yeah, that's what they've written. Anyway, I thought you'd know.
That's a typo.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Kent.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's some typo.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you write it?
No.
Okay. 6 to 7.30pm. Are you sure it's a typo?
Well, think about it. Read it again.
Kibi Invicta Chamber.
Unless you know what a Kibi is, I would say that the Invicta Chamber, who for many years have been known as the Kent Invicta Chamber rather than the Kibi Invicta Chamber, I would say, at a guess, that was a typo.
Well, I wish to speak with their admin.
Right.
Kibi Invicta Chamber after hours networking is 6 to 7.30pm. There's one tonight, actually, Paul Andrews, at the Conningbrook Hotel in Ashford. Tuesday the 9th of August, the Farmhouse Westmorling. Is that right?
Blimey, that's the first time ever, Bird, that's the first time ever she's pronounced a name in Kent, right.
Yeah, it's taken me 8 years.
Yeah, Westmorland.
Tuesday Blimey. The 9th of August, Hythe Imperial in Hythe. And Wednesday the 10th of August, the Royal Wells Hotel in Tunbridge Wells. There's also the Coniston Hotel in Sittingbourne, which is Thursday the 11th of August. So I suggest you go to the Kent Invicta Chamber website, go on to the events bit, and sign up for one of those after-hours networking, 6 to 7.30, Paul.
Cool. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Bit of tunage.
I'm going to play a bit of tunage.
What we got?
Well, As you know, I like to pick a bit of cheesy tunage and try to relate it to our guests.
I was
here
in
there.
Cheddar, you know, at the weekend.
So, you tell me.
Who's going to drive my car by the cars?
Drive by the cars.
Well, you know.
Absolutely.
That's the first line.
Isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
This must be for Janie. Can't go wrong thinking.
Nothing's wrong.
Suppliers you can trust for your Kent business. Get a quote today at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk. On this Tuesday, the 2nd of August, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Sukin. That was a bit of Cars Drive.
I know why you picked that.
I have no idea why I thought of that. I have no idea why I thought of that at all. I'll tell you what, but before we find out, we'll do a couple of quick tweets and emails I've got to read, and then we'll talk to our first guest.
Yeah, who's tweeting you?
I've had a tweet from Brian McDowell, who's Brian Kent 2017 on the Twitter, and he says, Vanilla Web, we hope to form a collaboration to help the Kent Union students gain access to apprenticeships. And that's all he's told me at the moment, so okay. Good luck with that.
Cryptic.
Yeah, so hope that works out. And we've also had FMRC underscore inquiry, that's their Twitter handle. Vanilla Web, please could we have a shout out for our new website, which is fraudmanagementresourcecentre.com. Fraudmanagementresourcecentre.com, the site that could save businesses money. So they're an anti-fraud company or a fraud protection company. That's fraudmanagementresourcecentre.com. And we've also had a tweet from the lovely Chris Hyde, who says, can we have a shout out, please, for my company, Camellia Genics? And Camellia Genics are a project management company. And I happen to know, because he told me this morning, Chris is currently in Munich. So I hope things are fine in Munich.
Probably having some beer.
He may well be. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
wearing some lederhosen, perhaps.
If you bump into Stu, say hello, because my youngest is there at the moment as well.
What's he doing there?
He's staying in the tent.
The tent.
The tent.
What is the tent?
The tent is a huge tent in the centre of Munich. Do you not notice?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I've been in Somerset.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't listening you're to
out,
any tenting
you're out of circulation.
Exactly. So he hasn't gone camping in Munich then?
Sorry?
He hasn't gone camping in Munich.
No, he's not. No, it's the tent is a massive marquee in the centre of Munich, and it's like a youth hostel, but it's a tent. But it's massive. It's huge. It's hundreds of people staying in it.
Sounds like my idea of hell.
Yeah.
All those sort of smelly socks and
studenty
things.
Yeah, they're 20-year-olds in Munich. Yeah. You know, what do you think they're doing? You know, do you really think that they need to sleep anywhere that's human?
All that soft bratwurst and burping and things.
We don't need any of that.
Cascade Julie, who I mentioned earlier, she just wanted me to mention that they're Kent's insurance specialist for... I need my glasses. N HNW, high value, commercial insurance, startup businesses, any SME insurance. And you can find Julie on julie@cascadeins.co.uk. And they're based in Ashford. So nice and local. Thank you, Julie.
Cool. Do you know what?
Let's talk to Jamie.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto the Business Bunker Show our first guest of today, Mr. Jamie Hill. Hello, Jamie.
Hello there. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's an absolute pleasure and welcome on. Jamie is from Hill Shipping. Why don't you tell the listener a little bit about you, Jamie, and then we'll discuss what it is you do and why it is I paid that song.
Yeah, lovely link. Let's see what you did there.
Yeah.
My name is Jamie Hill. I'm from a family-owned firm called Hill Shipping. We've been trading for 21 years this year.
He doesn't look old enough, does
he?
No,
he doesn't, but that's because we're old.
Yeah.
That's a compliment, thank you. We specialise in the import and export of cars from and to the UK.
Okay.
Mainly our niche or our one market we specialise in is classic cars, exotic cars, but we ship any type of car, really. We have worked for pretty much every major car manufacturer that you can think of, from Toyota to Suzuki to Bentley, doing their paperwork, currently doing lots of paperwork for exports to China, that types, them types of countries. And we ship cars from America. That's our main market.
Right.
Anything from, say, like a £1,000 restoration car up until, like, you know, it could be a £100,000 Mustang.
Like what Wheeler dealers do.
Yeah, similar to that. Them ones are probably in better condition. But, yeah, so some of the cars literally would just be a shell. And right. We can get it picked up from anyone's house and delivered straight to your door.
Cool. I have a very funny story. I'm not sure if I can tell it on air about a guy that I used to work with years and years ago. I probably can't get away with telling this, but I worked for a very well-known investment bank, okay? A very well-known investment bank. And I shared an office with a guy who was half Italian, half American. He was from the Bronx, but originally from Sicily, okay? Mm. And he earned an awful lot of money at this particular investment bank, but he wasn't the brightest spanner in the toolbox. And he came in one day and he said to me, "I've just bought 5 new Mercedes in Sicily." And I went, "Oh, that's great. What are you going to do with them?" He went, "I'm going to send them to New York." And I go, "Why are you going to do that?" He said, "Because the price of Mercedes in New York is much more than in Sicily." I went, "Yeah, but of course you've got to take the shipping costs and the import and all that." He went, "What?" "Yeah, well, you've got to ship them there, haven't you?"
Yeah.
And he went,
"Thought it was good."
"No, he's going, I was going to drive them."
Like, "Really?
Really? Really?" You looked at a map.
Yeah. Anyway. That'd be extreme. Yeah. Yeah. Cheaper ways just to ship it.
Yeah. I couldn't afford the shipping cost, so I thought I'd drive.
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't take into concept that type of stuff when bringing cars and shipping cars. Yeah. They look at one price and then think others. We've had a lot of late night eBay buyers that have bought a car very late at night, maybe after a few sherbets, and then come on the next day and said they bought it. They then find out it's in the middle of America, then they probably haven't done the maths and it might not be advisable to ship it. So
so from a business point of view, a lot of the work you do is presumably classic car dealers and classic car restorers. Is that how it works?
Yeah, mainly it's for individuals. Our market really is probably most of the people we deal with would probably be males, 50 and older, who have probably recently now stopped working, have a pension, that type of stuff, always wanted a classic car, couldn't afford it when they were younger, or possibly wasn't
kids
allowed
are grown
one.
Up, that
yeah,
sort of thing.
That's
yeah,
that's it. Yeah. So they've got a bit of a nest egg now they can spend. They look at it as an investment as well, as a bit of fun, and then they decide to purchase it. Give us a call and we get it picked up and taken to them.
Because there is a thing about classic cars as well, that they're actually quite cheaper to run. Because you can get classic car insurance, vehicle excise duties non-existent on some of them.
Even pre-1960s, now you don't need an MOT on, which I don't really agree with personally. If I was going to drive a car, I'd want to make sure that it has been MOT. Yeah. So I find that quite surprising. But yeah, I can see that, definitely. Yeah, insurance is definitely cheaper. And as you say, no road tax as well.
Mm. So I'm fancying, actually, going back to our youth, Paul, a Ford Capri.
Ford Capri, yeah, well. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah, definitely.
Fabulous car. Now that would be nice, because that wouldn't be too juicy, would it? Like the American
Guzzlers. Not the American. Americans now, I'd imagine that's going to be sort of 2.7, maybe 3 litre. With the Americans, you're looking at 4 litre upwards, yeah. So
Trouble with Capris is there aren't many about because they were a bit rust-prone and they had a tendency to fall apart after a couple of years.
They go for a lot of money now, though, Capris.
Yeah.
They've really gone up.
Because there's not a lot of them about. Yeah. Considering it was a mass-produced car, they're good ones are hard to find.
What about that? When I was about, I think I was 16, I was offered...
Did they have cars then?
Yes. You put your feet out like Fred Flintstone, but they did have cars. I was offered, I was a dental nurse at the time, and my dentist, who had pots of money, had the Simon Templar Volvo. You know, the little...
What's
that called?
It was a P100, was it?
P1,
He offered me that for, I think it was £150, which was a lot of money in those days for a little 15-year-old.
Wow.
Yeah, and I always regret not buying it.
Those Volvos are still... awesomely good-looking cars.
Yeah.
That really, really is a good-looking car.
Well, I think this is why classic cars are so exciting. I mean, I don't think that modern cars look sexy at all. I hate them. They're very boxy. But, you know, the old cars, the Ford Capris, the Triumph Heralds, the Volvos, what else was gorgeous? Even a Cortina had little wings, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it helped because a lot of cars are associated with films and TV shows as well, Starsky and Hutch, that type of stuff. And it's also, you know, a bit more of a sexy appeal to them. Mm. Whereas now, all cars, mass-produced, to mass market, most of them are quite boring, as you say, really, not much to them. So the appeal isn't there. Mm. With an older car, obviously, it's got more of a personality even as well, so it makes it much more appealing.
I think my dad's first car was an Austin Cambridge. And what was your dad's first car, Paul?
As far as I can remember, I can't remember, to be honest. The first thing I remember in driving was an old Thames 500-weight van. But, because he was a painter and decorator, so he had...
He needed a van.
He had a van. But my first car was a Ford Anglia, would you believe?
Mine was a Triumph Herald, I think.
Okay.
Or something.
Anyway, enough of that, because that's not what we come to talk to Jamie about.
What was your first car, Jamie?
It was a Toyota MR2 that I imported from Japan.
Okay, nice car.
It's okay importing them from Japan, because they're right-hand drive as well, aren't they?
Yeah. There was a mass market of importing from Japan back in the 90s, late 90s. But some tips, if anybody was looking to buy a car now, the South Africa is becoming a good market, and also Dubai as well.
So,
Buy from? Or to...
Yes, because of the rates of exchange. Yeah.
Okay.
So it helps.
Okay. So, can you just step us through some of the things to think about? So, let's say you mentioned I'm approaching 50. I know it's hard to believe.
Hang on, I arranged your 60th last year.
Oh yeah, I knew it was something like that.
Seems to be remarkable.
I knew it had a zero on the end somewhere.
We're all going to be hiding in your alley this year in about a week, aren't
That's
we?
A euphemism.
Down your passage.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Oh,
Jamie.
Stop it.
all matron.
So I come to you and I go, do you know what, Jamie? I've decided that I want to buy a classic car or whatever. What are the kind of things I've got to look out for? And presumably your business, you don't actually buy and sell the cars. You just arrange the shipping, is that right?
We arrange the shipping. We can pay for the car on your behalf, for example. Anyone who's looking to spend a decent amount of money on a car, I would always straight away recommend to get it surveyed in America. We can get it surveyed for about $300 anywhere. If you're going to spend $10,000-$20,000 upwards, $300 really isn't a lot to get it surveyed.
Yep.
It can work really in your favour. If the car's not as advertised, for example, not the guy down on price, if it's a pile of junk, you just walk away and leave it. So straight away, I'd look at that.
So is that a mechanical check kind of thing?
Yeah, mechanical check. Yeah, they do pages and pages from the paintwork, getting underneath it, the engine, everything really. So they go to the guy's house or the dealership and test it all the way through for you.
Okay. And that's something that your organisation can organise for you?
Yeah, definitely, yep.
So I find a car. It's what I want. We do the deal. I knock the guy down a few grand because I'm like that.
Yep,
and we do the deal. What are the issues in terms of importing or exporting a car? You know, step me through the kind of things that a lot of people don't know you have to do even in order to get a car. So, I mean, let's leave it at that as a statement at the moment. What are the things I need to think about?
Well, the first thing that most people don't seem to ever realise is about the import taxes on cars. For newer cars, you'd always pay about 10% import duty and 20% VAT. Yeah. On older cars, over 30 years of age, as long as they're in original condition, we can get a rule in the range. You don't pay any import duty and just 5% VAT.
Right,
so most people don't even know that exists. They think you buy a car for, I don't know, $10,000, That's the cost. And what a lot of them tend to do is just halve it. Yeah. I think, that'll do me. Great. Obviously, you've got your shipping to factor in. Further it is in land, the more it's going to cost you to get to the coast.
Yeah.
So you've got to add that into the equation as well. And as I say, you've got the customs clearance, you have port fees this side, and then you still need to get the car from the port to your house. We always recommend getting it picked up on a transporter because you've not seen the car firsthand. You don't know what it's going to drive like. It's always best to get it to a garage, get them to MOT it or test it first, yep, and then drive it on the road.
Okay.
So it's really, really straightforward. If you're exporting, then it's a whole different ball game altogether because every country has got different rules and regulations,
sure,
from emissions. In America, it's easier to import a car over 25 years of age because the emissions are so strict over there, which sounds backwards. But we do a lot of old Land Rovers and Minis out there, and they're really popular with the Americans.
It's really fascinating, isn't it, from a political point of view, that they have all these rules because they go, you know, this is bad for the environment or it's bad for your health or whatever, whatever. Unless you've got an old car and then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true, which makes no sense. Unless you're Volkswagen and you just lie about your emissions.
Exactly.
Obviously, it might cost you a few quid.
Yeah.
But so it's really strange. Every country is different in that respect. But you would think newer cars now, with the way they're built with the catalytic converters and whatever else, would be easier to do in that sense. But they seem to be a lot stricter. Where this way, in that term, if you're bringing a car in under 10 years of age into the UK, you have to do quite a strict test called the IVA test, which is basically like a glorified MOT. Mm. And it was brought in...
EVA, yeah. They did that in Spain.
I'll do that as well.
That's what they call it.
Yeah, it was almost like another tax, really. It was through the Japanese imports that came in. They wanted to stop that growth almost because they were grey imports and it was affecting the manufacturers, which is understandable. So they introduced that. That does cost quite a lot of money. So it's all those types of things and them steps you've got to try and factor in to work out then your total cost of what it's actually going to be.
Absolutely.
So you won't source cars. So if I say I want something...
Yeah, we can do that as well. Yeah, we've got contacts in America. I've got an English guy who's based in California and he's been there 30 years and he can pretty much source any car that you want, really.
All right, okay.
That's interesting.
That's always worth knowing, isn't it? But I'm fascinated by this whole import-export thing because you're absolutely right, Jamie. A lot of people just don't factor any of this kind of... And I like what you said as well because it resonates entirely where people go, right, it's $10,000, it's roughly two to the pound, we're half it, and that's how much the car's going to cost.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah,
that really? A lot, definitely. Yeah, they're always shocked. Yeah. And then you start to give them the charges after it, you know, and they're like, I didn't know about this,
add-ons.
Yeah, and we always say, always ask before you buy, you know, and then if you can't afford it, then don't ship it, you know, don't buy it, it's fine, yeah, you know, absolutely. No problem.
So your shipping, that's your preferred method, and it presumably to be cost effective, it has to be quite slow, or am I wrong?
Yeah, on the sea, it would be slower. Again, if you know, Australia could be sort of 6 weeks, America between 2 and 4. But if you're in a rush, we can air freight it, but then obviously the figures involved start to get higher and higher.
I need to stop you on the Australia. Yeah. I just went wild. My cousin came over and he bought me some about a year ago, stayed about 3 months as Australians do.
Yeah, we would be. It's a relative of yours. Yeah.
And he bought me eucalyptus oil, which I absolutely went wild about.
Yeah.
Love the smell, use it for cleaning. Little bottle, can't find it anywhere in England. And I tried everywhere to get some from Australia. I'll
watch it, Jamie. What she's trying to get here is the next time you're importing a car, he's to fill the boot with the eucalyptus oil.
Well, it's true because he then sent me some and it cost him $36, Australian dollars, to send me two little bottles by post. So...
Jamie, if you're going to do that for Jules, there's a couple of bottles of South Australia Shiraz.
Loads of personal effects in the next container now.
But because I was just shocked at the price.
Yeah, it's expensive. A lot of people will ring up if they're buying parts and they get a quote from, say, DHL or FedEx. Mm. And it'll be like $400 or $500. So we can put it in a container and they just pay for a small amount then. Isn't it?
Okay, cool. Do you ever, from continental Europe, do you ever just drive a car over?
There's one or two that have just driven cars in. Then they have to have the paperwork done at Dover.
Right.
Last week we took a Porsche out to a guy in Monaco.
Right.
But the transporter we used for out there was so big that it wouldn't actually go into Monaco. We had a Ferrari and a Porsche there. They had to come down and meet the driver.
Right.
So it's that type of scenario. But yeah, you get a few that come across from, say, Germany or France, and they'll have to then stop at Dover, clear the paperwork, and then go through.
Okay. I have some familiarity with some of that. I used to own a motor racing team.
Oh, okay.
And if we raced anywhere in Europe, it was a nightmare coming back into the country.
Right.
They go, is that the car you took out? And you go, well, kind of. And they go, well, it doesn't look the same. And that, And we go, that's because we crashed it at 180 miles an hour. That's why it doesn't look the same.
One or two dents.
It's just a pile of bits now. And they go, yeah, but is that the same one that you took out? You know, fairly much, minus a few bits. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that. I think it's a bit stricter on border control now, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, just kind of to round off the kind of thing you're doing, we've talked a lot about classic car collectors and importers and stuff like that. Do you do work for people that are just relocated? So expats that are going to live somewhere or coming home?
Yeah, we do that for obviously moving abroad. They can have full containers. We do personal effects and put the car in, and then the same coming back to the UK as well. We have a lot of people coming from Australia to the UK and America to the UK.
Right.
And that's nice and easy to do if you're moving across. If you've owned the car for 6 months and lived in that country for more than 12, you can bring the car across and pay no import taxes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you can bang a few bits of eucalyptus.
And some Shiraz. Yeah.
It's all good. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Jamie, we could talk about this forever, but sadly, we're kind of running out of time.
Yep.
If our listeners want to find out more about your organisation and find out about how to import or export a car, how can they get hold of you?
Yeah, you can look on the company website, and that's hillshipping.com, or you can contact me on Twitter, and that's at Jamie Hill UK.
And you're also big on LinkedIn, aren't you, Jamie?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn as well. Yeah, I'm on there daily.
Okay, cool.
Brilliant.
Jamie, thank you so much for that. Fascinating insight into the world of importing and exporting classic cars and other motor vehicles. Thank you so much for joining us.
Cheers.
And he's based on the Isle of Sheppey.
Someone's got to be.
Yeah, so I've linked him in, hooked him up with John Nurden, my mate.
Because once upon a time, in Sheerness, at the ports there, it used to be an import place for cars.
Yeah, it was mobbed. There was not enough space, really wasn't. Yeah. And even now, there's still a lot of Volkswagen, Schultze and Deep Sea all come into there still.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that kind of why you were based there originally?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that's pretty much why. That's how the business started, basically.
It was a family business. I think that's quite nice. So you grew up with this whole business going on around you.
Yeah, our whole family was based in Sheerness Docks. My dad was a docker. My granddad was a docker. So it all goes back in that sense. So
and
nice,
now they're looking after Rolf Harris. He's on there four times in one show.
Yeah. Cool. Jamie, thank you so much.
I
can only apologise for her. Quickfire Business Headshot Event on the 16th of August, taking place at the Grain Store Studio in Faversham. This is Richard Torbal of R. Torbal Photo. That's his Twitter handle. He also says, I'm going to give away one of the slots on my event to someone who is out of work but actively looking to help them get back into the game. So can you mention this tomorrow on the show? Just get folk to tweet me, either for themselves or to recommend somebody else. His Twitter handle is rtorblephoto, and that's RTORBLEPHOTO. Or you can go to his website, which is richardtorblephotography.com/quickfire session. So that's a quickfire business headshot event taking place at the Grain Store Studio on the 16th of August. And if you're currently out of work and looking to get back into work, you can apply to have a free one.
That's a really, really nice gesture.
It is.
And Richard, I'm looking forward to seeing him this Friday. It's, of course, the Slope Off Friday. And it's at the Faversham Creek Hotel. There's a set menu at $14.95. Fabulous food. It's a networking event for mostly SMEs, business people. But you can find it on the hashtag Slope Off Friday on the Twitter. And join us. It's me and Andrew Knott hosting it. That's AK Knott of the FSB. And we do have some frolics. We start about 2 p.m. So we'll see Richard Torbal there and hear all about it.
Cool. I've got a nice little tweet here.
Have you?
I've got a nice little tweet that I'm quite excited about.
Who tweeted?
Amanda. Right. Amanda has tweeted, and she's known as lava_spa on the Twitter. Yeah. And Amanda says, Vanillaweb, please can I have a shout out on the Business Bunker show? I provide workplace lava shell head massages.
Ooh.
To ease those aches and to energize.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
And the lovely, fragrant, gorgeous Amanda would like to come into the studio and give us all a head massage sometime soon.
Lovely. Can you make it when
lovely.
I'm on?
No.
Especially?
No. No.
Where is she based?
Tunbridge Wells.
Okay. Well, that's lovely of her. How do you spell lava? L-A-V-A?
Normally.
Like a lava?
Yeah.
Lamp?
As opposed to what?
Well, I don't know. It could be L-A-T-H-E-R, like getting in a lather. It depends on your pronunciation.
She's doing one of those. You're a Cockney, Paul. You can't speak proper like what I can from Essex, love.
You're an old Barrow boy, aren't you, from Bermondsey or somewhere? Where were you from?
I'm from Fulham.
Well, Bermondsey, Fulham.
You were, it's nowhere near South were, London, Bermondsey. Yeah.
You're not in the old Bow Bell sound, are
no,
you?
No. Yeah. Athelbrae Limited.
What do they do?
A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E, L-T-D, on the Twitter. Business Bunker, we're a management development program for new managers taking place at Chilston Park, that's near Lenham, on the 13th of September. Bite-sized three-hour modules, and there are places still available, and you can find out about them by following Athelbrae LTD on the Twitter.
We've had a tweet from the Riverford Kent, that's Riverford underscore Kent, the Organic Sisters, that's Liz and Caroline, and they say, hello, Business Bunker listeners.
Hello. Are they Australian?
No, they're Kentish.
Are they?
This week, at first, sweet corn cobs are in, sweet corn cobs, the first of the bunch, they're in fresh, and British plums. They've also got true spinach. Now, what is true spinach? It's a seasonal favourite that usually lasts until October. Sugar snap peas, courgettes, padron peppers, which I'm very partial, and broad beans are in. So get your Riverford box delivered to you, business or home in Kent.
Cool. I have an email here from the British Assessment Bureau, and they're on the Twitter at the BAB official. And they say, we know that businesses are increasingly concerned about information security and how it can be managed. Considering ISO 27001 is a great next step to take. It will help to establish a robust information security management system that will protect your suppliers, clients and employees' information, as well as your valuable business and financial data. It makes sure you have processes in place to comply with the Data Protection Act and to avoid a possible £500,000 fine and a pile of hassle too. We have a great offer for Business Bunker's listeners. 2-for-1 training places on our next introduction to ISO 27001. And the training course, the next training course, starts on the 13th of September. If you'd like to book your 2-for-1 training place, you can call Gabby free on 0800 404 7007. I'll give you that again. That's Gabby on 0800 404 7007, or you can email Gabby gabby.smith@british-assessment.co.uk for more information. So do check that out.
There's Red Sails Faversham. That's a lovely Faversham Creek Hotel. It's a boutique hotel on the creek there. They say, great to be doing our bit for local businesses using Business Bunker hashtag and hosting the Slope Off Friday. So that's just as I mentioned, it's on the 5th of August this Friday. It's two courses for $14.95 and free networking. Lots of, and they've done a hashtag, business boffins.
Business boffins.
I like that, yeah.
I like it.
Thank you for that.
Cool.
See you Friday.
I'd just like to say a big thank you to Denise Wilton, and she's done a lot of work helping to promote not only us, but the work of the dementia and Alzheimer's people over in Medway and lots of other things. So big thank you to Denise. You can follow Denise on the Twitter. It's DenezWilton, Denise Wilton on the Twitter. We've had a tweet from Diligence PM Service, and they say, Business Bunker, please can we have a shout out? Look for us at the next Invicta Chamber magazine. We're a construction consultancy, specialist infrastructure project managers is what they is. And you can follow them on the Twitter at Diligence Info is their Twitter handle. Jules.
KETA. So the nominations are now open for the 2016 KETA.
That's the Kent Independent Awards. Traders Awards.
Thank you. I was wondering if it was a typo.
didn't
like to say. It takes a couple of minutes to nominate by filling in the form below, and here are the categories. So first of all, you've got Startup Business of the Year, Home-Based Business of the Year, Retail Business of the Year, Trade Business of the Year, Marketing and PR Business of the Year, Contribution to the Community Award, Customer Service Award. Shall I read them all? Growth Business of the Year, Leisure and Hospitality Award, Professional Achievement Award, Financial Services Award, Small Business of the Year, 1 to 9 employees, Medium one is 10 to 49 employees, and Large is 49 plus. Rural Business of the Year, Social Media Business of the Year, and lastly, Entrepreneur of the Year. You can find out more, kentindependenttraders.co.uk, and then a little slash with Akita 2016 nomination. So make your votes and nominations there on the Akita Awards for this year. That's a very exciting award to get.
Fantastic. We've had a tweet from Equinox 3D that says, could we have a shout out? Although they're not too keen on the term shout out.
Apparently, what do they like?
Well, I don't know, but they're not too keen on the word shout out. They think it sounds a bit shell suity, and they suggest we pick a different type of name, which is fine.
A mensch.
Yeah, a mensch.
A quick mensch.
Yeah. But that's Equinox 3D. Do give them a follow on the Twitter. And we've also had a tweet from Cars from Kent that says, Business Bunker, Jill Serkin, can we have a shout out, please? Buy or sell your car locally, carsfromkent.com.
Nice one. There's a curry and beer networking night that you're invited to, listener. It'll be, they said they're not doing any in August, but there'll be three events in September and October to make up for it. Firstly, on the 22nd of September, they've got the Bromley Curry and Beer Night, which returns to the Raj Moni. Is it Raj Moni? Moni.
You've got the email, not
M-O-N-I, from 6:30. And then on the 6th of October, they will have the Mogul Dynasty in Maidstone. And then again at the Raj Moni, again on the 20th of October. I need to come along to some of those. So the Bromley or Maidstone, you can book with Abigail on 01689 768 273, or you can email her on curry at cane, that's cainandbeer.co.uk.
Cool. Richard Archer, who is Richard Archer 79, has said, Vanilla Web, can a Buckland Media, and that's a Twitter handle, Buckland Media, get a shout out on the show today, please? Loved the conference last Thursday, and we are looking to disrupt our industry. Interesting. That's a reference to Fruitworks Create last week. David Shaw did a talk on disrupting industries and disintermediation and things like that, which was very good. So big thank you to Richard Archer, 79, on the Twitter. Lee Willis of Ancorians Football Club, or the community football club over there in Gillingham, he said, listening to the Business Bunker show, could you give us a shout-out, please? The Ancorian Angels, that's a Twitter handle, are the under 7 to under 10 girls football team, and the training starts on Thursday, 6 to 7pm. So if you're a footballer and you're a girl and you're between the ages of 7 and 10 and you'd like to get involved in Gillingham, follow Ancorian Angels on the Twitter and get along to the training sessions every Thursday, 6 to 7pm. And thank you for that, Lee. Just so that you know, Ancorians Football Club are a designated community football club. They run dozens and dozens of teams for boys and girls, men and women, disabled, special needs teams, all kinds of things. So they even run football teams for old codgers like me. So
they do walking football, don't they?
They do walking football as well.
Which is about all you can manage at your age.
Was just so horrible.
There's a digital
and untrue.
There is a digital in Kent event.
You saw me play football not long ago.
Yeah, I couldn't get you out the goal.
Yeah,
but I will say that was Hilda Marie's launch. Yeah. That was about 6-7 years ago. I came out of the bush.
Was it that long?
I came out of the bush to do my event. This is my Hilda Marie accent.
I don't know what that is. I have no idea. Why Hilda Marie is a clanger, I have no idea.
You were in that goal. The food was being served. We had the speeches and I couldn't get you out of the goal. And you were in those shorts, weren't you? I'll never forget that image. Digital in Kent event at Great Danes Maidstone has a great lineup of speakers. Hopefully not you. Digital in Kent.
I'm chairing it. Sorry.
See, you can't go anywhere without him there. It was born in 2012, they're saying, and a group of leading local agencies and consultants came together to pool their experience and create a learning event for Kent businesses. And they felt that many were struggling to get to grips with social media, SEO and PPC for the first time, and were finding it hard to keep up with the latest developments. So Digital in Kent has showcased a multitude of speakers, including leading regional practitioners and carefully selected experts from across the UK and one dubious chairman. The initiative has also expanded by holding regular monthly meetups, allowing those using digital marketing to meet, share and share experiences and learn. So it's Thursday the 20th of October of this year at the Mercure Maidstone Great Danes. And you can find out more on kentbusinessradio.co.uk/digital-kent.
Cool. Gracious Events present the FAS Ball. And the FAS is the Fetal Alcohol Syndrome Charity Ball.
Oh.
And it's taking place on Saturday the 10th of September 2016. And the tickets are £80 a head. And it's raising awareness for fetal alcohol syndrome and funds for the first local resource centre to deal with the outflow of that. It's taking place at Gillingham Football Club at the Priestfield Stadium, that's Redford Avenue in Gillingham. And if you'd like to book a ticket or find out more about it, you can email grace@graciousevents.biz, B-I-Z. So that's grace@graciousevents.biz. If you'd like to book a ticket or find out more about a black tie event on Saturday, the 10th of September at the Jills, and that's in respect of the Fetal Alcohol Syndrome Charity.
That sounds like a really good charity.
Absolutely.
There's a charity quiz night at Tunbridge at the old fire station. It's on the 5th of August, so that's this week at 7 p.m. Pizza worth £8 included, stone baked on the site, they say, and it's £14 per person. Teams of 4 to 8 individuals welcome to join other teams, and you can get your tickets from Beyond the Grounds and Sulston's Kitchen, or you can email bbutterwick@thebridgetrust.org.uk or pop in, they say. And I'm sure that, well, the Bridge Trust is for homelessness, isn't it?
It is. They provide housing, first start housing for homeless people in the Tunbridge Wells and Tunbridge area.
Okay, so is that on your Kent Business Radio website already?
No, because we don't have a page for them anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you ever going to get a page for them?
For the charity pages, yeah, we will put one back, but it's not there at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah. And just while we're doing some charity call-outs, to mark World Mental Health Day on Monday the 10th of October, we're holding a workplace wellbeing and training day. We have joined forces with local workplace training and online expert skill boosters, AXA, PPP Healthcare and Tunbridge School to host this event, which will comprise of short interactive training workshops throughout the day. You can find out more information by going to westkentmind.co.uk/World Mental Health Day. We would be grateful for any support received, and that's from Lucy Adams, who's the Community Development Manager at West Kent Mind. And West Kent Mind, once again, the website is westkentmind.org.uk. Thank you so much.
Get Social Kent, building an online business relationship, becoming social. It's the event is on Thursday the 3rd of November, 9 to 3:30. It's free to attend, and it's at Longfield Academy in Main Road, Longfield. The sat-nav is D for Dog, A for Archie, 3, 7, P for Peter and H for Harry. And it's Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce and ZC Social Media, the lovely Zoe Cairns, bringing together the third social media day filled with up-to-date content, expert advice and tips and strategies for you to take and use straight away in your business. So on the day, you've got keynote speakers, you've got expert Q&A panel, you've got social media clinics and exhibitors who will be full of social media and digital experts. You can ask away with your questions. And they ask you to bring a notebook, pen and plenty of business cards for networking. You can also sponsor that, Get Social Kent. So go to linda@kentinvictorchamber.co.uk or call 01-233-503-838.
Cool. We've had a tweet from the Ashford Volunteer Centre, Ashford VC, on the Twitter that says, "Afternoon star shines. Everywhere the world says hello. Perfect day to do some volunteering in Ashford Borough," is what they say. That's nice and to the point, isn't it? We've had a tweet from Lorna Morris that says hello, that she's listening in, and a tweet from Graham Galpin over there in Ashford, and a picture of a car. I've no idea why we got a picture of a pink Cadillac, but we have.
Oh, well, I know what that is.
Oh, was that you?
That was me. How's that?
Look, there's a picture of a chocolate brown Mercedes convertible as well for sale.
That might be mine. Has it got my mum in it? I'm hoping that they'll buy my mum with it because...
I've got an interesting tweet here as well from Perfect Collection LTD, and their Twitter handle is LTD Perfect, and they do hair tattooing.
Yes, well, I was talking to them. Yeah, well, I know about eyebrow tattooing, but hair, so this is for baldies, isn't it? Bald people.
Yeah, especially for women who have suffered through some kind of scarring, stress, or thinning hair. They actually tattoo hair in the place that you're thinning. Now, I don't think that would work too well for me.
Why?
Well, because it'd have to be a pretty big tattoo, wouldn't it? And I think it would be pretty obvious that it was a tattoo on my head because there's no hair there.
It'd be a couple of weeks, wouldn't it, to do it? It'd just be chiselling away at you forever.
Yeah. No, but what it does is it fills in the gaps between the hair. That's the idea behind it. And they've put a couple of pictures up, which is absolutely astonishing.
It's a real art. I mean, I was saying to my new husband the other day, actually, because I go up to London quite a lot now for work, and I was saying to him, when I was young, I didn't see this, but I'm seeing a lot of young women with thinning hair.
Yeah.
And I was saying to my new husband, I wonder whether it's hormones in the water, food that they're eating, or stress. Mm. Are women, young women looking, you know, there are no, Birdie's here, so she's the only young woman in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
But I was quite horrified on the tube to see so many thinning hairs for ladies.
Interesting. I don't know. I mean,
do you think it's the water?
I've no idea.
They're talking about the contraceptive pill in the water, aren't they, and what it's doing to fish.
All I can tell you that the contraceptive pill was not the cause of my baldness, as far as I'm aware.
You always used a cap, didn't you?
Ha 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 ha! That is just so funny. Not. Do you know what? On that point, I think we'll have a mid-show break. What do you reckon?
Oh, yeah, I'd love a cup of tea.
Yeah.
I wonder if Jamie will make me one.